No matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world.
Okay, terrific.
Language and writing were made available.
He'll teach you everything.
I'm writing this down. This is good stuff.
Hi, I'm John. This is John Helps You Write Better. And today we're going to build a bridge and get over something. I spend a lot of time talking to a lot of writers about a lot of things. Often I'm answering questions like, how do I write this? Or what do I do with this kind of plot? Or how do I make a pitch about this thing? They're very creative questions. How do I create a thing? How do I work with a thing I've created? They're very intellectual questions, questions that are very much up in your head, up in the upper third of your body, where you are thinking about making up stuff to say things and do things. I'm going to make up characters and they're going to say this and do this across this scene and across this. And it comes across very much as a little kid laying on the carpet playing with their toys, which is fine. And that's great. And that's a great way to think about the drafting process. We're just going to bring in all the toys. Oh, get the Lego guys, get the horse, get the soldiers, get the Transformers, bring them all in. Get the weird, you know, chewed up dog toy that you found on the street that you thought was cool. Bring in that cool stick. And you're going to forever just lay there and imagine and spool up this tremendous wellspring of creativity. You can always add more things and make things more complicated, or zoom in and tell some kind of great action figure, you know, telenovela or something. But it's all very upper brain. It's all very creative. You create problems and solve problems and then add more things and add more things by just making up more stuff. This is the intellectual side, the thinking side of crafting a story. There's nothing wrong with this part. It's the fun part. This is the part where you get to daydream and you get to fantasize and you get to kind of loosely keep the idea in your head and picture it as a movie or a long-running series or a manga or anything like that. But it stays, for the most part, up in your head, your fantasies, your daydreams, whatever. Little by little, we have to kind of transition that entirely or mostly entirely from your head onto a page, whether that's Word or Scrivener or Ulysses or a notepad or a legal pad or whatever. You've got to start transferring that idea out of your head so that it can continue to grow and so that it can continue to get organized and sorted out. And you've got to add now, instead of just intellectualizing and creating more stuff, ooh, I'm going to add this. I'm going to bring in the evil demons. I'm going to bring in the magic. I'm going to bring in this and to do more than just think about it, to do more than just add and toss into a bucket. You need to start transitioning it to text, and you need to start making decisions about stuff you like and stuff you really like. Prioritizing things, choosing, hey, you know what, I've got 15 things here. I think I really only need 6 to tell a certain kind of story. You need to learn how to cull your ideas and pare them down for the purpose of doing something else with it. But that something else is the next step in our process. And that next step is basically, what do you want to do with this now that you're going to turn it into something? It's no longer just in your head. You're writing it down. Is this a book you're writing just for you to write because you like writing and there's no need to worry about audiences and marketing and selling and publishing? It's just, hey, I'm making a thing. If that's the case, fine. Then write it down to the best of your ability in the pieces you can. And when it's done, it's done. No need for rigor, no need for structure, totally okay. But, and this is significant, if you want to turn this into a book for other people, we need to start building many bridges, not necessarily quickly, but we need to start building many bridges very effectively. Because the reader, the potential reader who's going to come down over here and hand you a couple bucks for this book, they don't truly care about how much stuff you made up, which is a really hard thing to get your head around, but I don't know how else to tell you this. They want you to be creative. They want to see what you created, but the depths of care they have for what you created, they're never going to match yours. And for too many authors, there's this great sense of, I want to just be creative, because that's what they think the book writing process is, a demonstration of just making up stuff. And it's not. It has those things in it, but it is not only those things. What you have to start doing at this point is paring down your ideas, the quantity of them, the shape of them, pare them down into something that connects together so that someone else can read the thing in order, whatever that order might be, and have an intellectual understanding of the idea. But we're not done there. Too many authors write to just produce a thing to replicate the imagination. I come up with a story, I write it down, you read it. Now my story is in your imagination. You think the made-up things I made. That's it. For a lot of writers, that's the act of writing. And it's okay. You can sell it. It'll be mediocre at best. It'll be bland and forgettable. It'll be, you know, popcorn eaten at the movie theaters that 3 hours later you'll want a pizza afterwards. But you can do it that way. Loads of people do. Amazon is fat with mediocre stories. Yes, mediocre is a subjective opinion word I'm using. But when you talk to writers about the craft of writing and what they want to accomplish, they're not talking about just replicating their imagination in one medium to another. They're not talking about just showing off this thing they made. They want to affect readers. They want to move them. They want readers, you know, to be grabbed and held by their story and inspired and you know, care and stirred up the same way that when the writer was a little kid in the library cracking open books or whatever, they were stirred up. They were inspired and moved. To have that kind of impact, though, we need to get past intellectualizing, which means you need to get past solving your story and writing problems by just making up more plot or making up more characters. This is no longer a solely additive process. You need to understand that there's depth to what you've made. Ideally, there should be. Ideally, there needs to be this depth. You need your characters to no longer just be a collection of cool powers and neat descriptive words, but they need to be able to evoke emotion from those cool powers and those sweet descriptive words and from who they are and what they're trying to do. Your reader wants their emotions explored and relayed back to them, because they want your characters to sort of demonstrate their humanity, the reader's humanity, in their own face. You want your characters to feel human, even if they're robots or aliens or fantasy creatures or whatever. You're looking for those fundamental connections to humanity so that your story sticks in the minds and hearts of your reader. Period. And I'm making that sound very simple, and it's not. Here's how you make it simpler, and that's by understanding that you have to know your own feelings. You have to be able to put a finger on them. This is how I feel about X. This is when, you know, when something happens, here's my feeling about it, and I can articulate that feeling. Emotional articulation, emotional vocabulary, is what separates the purely mediocre intellectual writing from the writing that sticks around with people. Which means you need to sit in your uncomfortable feelings sometimes, which means you need to even care about your feelings sometimes, which means you need to consider the feelings and not just label them with single words like Tom felt sad, Bob was happy. You need to dig in deeper than that. And we're not just talking about like saying it in the fewest number of words possible, but you need to be able to access them and express them in the same way an actor would, or in the same way a dancer does or a painter does. You need to capture something of yourself and plug it into your characters so that we're not just showing off the fact that for 300 pages or 100,000 words, you made something up. It's really hard to do. A lot of writers won't be able to do it. They'll sit and listen to this and go, uh-huh, I understand, and then not do it because it's hard. You got to break this into pieces, and here's how. Just work on this today, okay? When your character is in any scene of your book, pick a scene, any scene, doesn't matter. What are they feeling? Why are they in the scene? Why are they doing what they're doing? Not the intellectual answer, not the, oh, well, they're in this scene to do the plot. Nope, not what I'm asking. So you're in this scene where they have to confront that other character. How do they feel? Are they nervous? Are they upset? Why are they confronting this character? Does that carry any baggage? How would you express it? What baggage is it? What's it there for? Now, if that means you have to create answers to these things, that's okay, but they don't have to make it into the book specifically, but you need to know them because you need to feel them. So if this scene is character A talking to character B about some way that character B broke their heart 20 years ago, you need to sit there and figure out how you feel when you had your heart broken. Maybe it wasn't 20 years ago, but you need to find your definition, your emotional palette of heartbreak, and figure out how to relay it through these characters so that you just don't have a character go, "I was heartbroken," because that's like me saying, "I had sausage," and it just doesn't, you don't care. It doesn't connect with you. But if you can find the emotional palette and the emotional definitions underneath the creative actions you've got, then all of a sudden it makes your characters feel more real and your story feel more engaging. So, homework time. Go through your scenes and identify what characters are feeling. Not just in single words, not just abstractly or like objectively. But pick a scene and really sit down and go, okay, in this moment, character A says this to character B, and here's how it feels because this is what I would say from A to B, and this is why I would say it the way I'm saying it. Act it out. Remember we were talking about toys on the carpet. Now here's the chance for you to be the toy. Walk around, gesture, move in space. How would you do it? How would you say it? What would you do? And then translate and transcribe what you just did, acting out in the room, onto the page. Watch how it changes your scene. Give that a try, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.